KVRF Sutton, 89.5 on your FM dial. Big Cabbage Radio coming to you from a glorious morning, Thursday morning, April 25th, 2013. And the mountains are all in their glory. And here in the studio, all in her glory, the citizen lobbyist. Welcome.
Good morning.
What's happening?
Most gorgeous morning. Drop dead gorgeous out there.
Oh, it's incredible. Wow. So, this was a week where there wasn't the big regular assembly meeting or the big regular school board meeting, but there were some important things. Where are you going to start?
Well, it was special, because that's what it was, a special meeting. The Borough Assembly met on Tuesday. They started for a work session at 1:30 p.m. on the agenda. I guess I should start by saying everybody was there present. Mr. Keough this time was on teleconference, but everybody else was there present. They took up an agenda that had basically four items of business. The legislative review and update, they had their lobbyist, John Harris, former Speaker of the House, there to report on how the year went in Juneau, give them a few tips, I think. Then they had an update or a kind of a bigger layout of what the school district proposed budget is and what their request for funding is from the borough. And then they received a manager's overview of what his proposed budget is going to look like and started the reviews of the different department budgets. They rolled them out and, gave their little synopsis and handed out handouts. And so it was a busy meeting. Started about 1:30 and lasted probably till about 6:30. So a lot of information there. They started, as I said before, with John Harris speaking to them about how successful they had been in Juneau. That's been pretty well documented. The Frontiersman's had a pretty good article about the projects that came their way. He did let them know right away that they both learned a lot about each other. This was his first year of being their lobbyist. And, he says they're going to go through some interesting times here because of the oil tax cut and everybody talking about tightening their belt. Always kind of makes me remember, I don't ever remember talking about budgets where they weren't talking about tightening their belt. So we shouldn't have much of a waste now because that's what everybody always talks about.
So you set the stage. What's
right.
Happening?
So Mr. Harris continued on talking to them for about a half hour, talked to them about, some less money they should be looking for forward for next year. Even though they did have a pretty good year this year, they got most of their priorities funded. Not as much as for their port as he had hoped for, but that the delegation had worked well together. He said he couldn't say enough about it, that they kind of banded together, which was a powerful force. Of course, they had good, powerful seats down there with Charlie Huggins, president of the Senate, and Mike Dunleavy, who sat on finance. So he wanted, he also wanted to thank them for sending a lot of their own body to Juneau. Manager Moosey made several trips down there, as did the mayor and a couple members of the assembly. So he, he talked a little bit about the things that they had gotten and how that had all come together a little bit. He talked about them trying to stay on the same page a little bit about their priorities and not getting too out there kind of all over the board with different things. He said it's easy to confuse legislators, so we should really be drilling down into what is specifically that that they want, particularly for next year when they expect there to be less funding out. He said he was a little confusion about the borough's endorsement of non-borough projects. And as you recall, this assembly had passed just a lot of resolutions in support of a multitude of projects. And he said in legislative offices that became a little confused about whether what was their priorities and what were these other projects. And he was trying to heed them a little advice to say, it's nice that you want to endorse these projects all over the state, but you might want to stick to your own because, that's what they're looking for is that advice.
And I noticed through the variety of meetings that the Borough Assembly has had, that question has come up a number of times. Did the Assembly seem to hear what was being said, or was there any response?
Well, I think a lot of this conversation really will go on out of the public venue. I think there were some questions asked, asked him to specify a few things. He talked about, drilling down, trying to communicating with them on projects and how that worked with the, school district and some things. And they kind of pushed it aside and said, well, we'll have numerous meetings over the summer. Mr. Harris said that he planned on being out here a lot or whenever that they needed him to come. And I suspect some of those will be one-on-one meetings with one would hope not more than three legislatures assembly members, since that's what it constitutes in open meetings. But that was just kind of a half hour kind of a dance, not really too many things really specified. So they are all kind of holding their breath. This budget has to go to the governor. They're not expecting any vetoes. It would be unusual that he not veto anything. They didn't say specifically which things that they were a little concerned about, but it does have to make that final hurdle. So he warned them a little bit about that too. So just a half hour meeting, nothing too substantial. He's got a very easy style about him. He did make one comment about a little bit of a perhaps a caution about dismantling the public school system, which I thought was kind of interesting. Those kind of big topics can really muck up a lot of priorities, and he thought they should, think about that a little bit. And so we'll see how that goes. As I said, Mr. Harris is a nice guy. He's got a very easy style about him. He certainly knows what's going on with just about everybody, has good relationship, it would seem, from his past experience in the legislature. So we'll just have to see how that travels.
Very interesting. Yes, that's probably one of the events that was below the radar for most people, to understand the role that a lobbyist plays in this case in giving information two ways, not just taking the instruction of the assembly, going down to Juneau and making something happen, but giving feedback about what's what there.
Right. And, there's a lot of comments. I hear a lot of comments out there from people that say, why do we pay to lobby ourselves? Because that's essentially what we're doing. But, it makes a big difference if you have the right person down here that knows, who you're supposed to be talking to about certain things. They have good relationship with department heads. You're not stepping on too many toes with that. He's seems to have had good relationship with the governor. That, all those things kind of play out. So, yeah, it was interesting. I've not. They added this meeting on kind of last minute, just about in time to make it a public meeting, and so there wasn't a lot of talk about it. And as you might know, at 1:30 in the afternoon, you're not going to get a whole lot of people out. But I think people in the room had a keen ear to what was going on.
Okay. Then next?
Then they moved on to the school budget. Dr. Parmo came and, talked about the school budget again, kind of drilled down, had a pretty good another slide presentation, which is always available on their website the same time that they give it to these bodies. She talked about 20% of the borough residents come to school district every day, that they have, 2,200 employees. One out of every five residents has some interaction with the school. That's pretty impactful. They, provide transportation, safety. They feed 8,500 lunches. They provide lots of health concerns, immunizations, suicide prevention. There's just all kinds of, things out even just teaching that we expect of our schools these days. It's not your, normal nurse in the white hat that hands out an aspirin. There's a lot of social problems that schools have to deal with, too. And, they have physical activities, 185 days a year. The school is in full gear with lots going on. They, Luke Falk got up, their business financial officer, and talked about their budget and answered some questions. Nothing too deep. They've seen this kind of at a surface level before. They've been handed the book a couple of weeks ago to go through. I would hope at least a couple of assembly members have gone through it. The district, of course, has asked for a 3% increase, which would still put them in local funding below Fairbanks and Anchorage and the Big Five, but they're trying to work their way in the middle of Fairbanks and Anchorage. They talked about their fund balance again and how You know, that would really be handy to have that fund balance. I think the city of Anchorage right now, the school district, is using some $5 to $10 million to level off their fund balance in these years where there hasn't been any forward funding. They did talk about some of the holes being filled in with the budget. And, of course, this, again, has to go through the governor and see what the governor does. But they were originally thinking they were going to have to lay off 45 people, full-time employees. About 33 or 34 of them were directly from schools, either teachers or aides. And school classes were going to have to get bigger. They did have some money come through on this budget with about $500,000 for cyber centers. That will create about 2 years of staffing, about $500,000 for preschool, and Alaska Middle College, which has been wildly successful, it would seem, received $750,000, and it's been growing by about 40 kids every year, and this is that college in Eagle River that John works at, actually. And they,
John Robertson, right.
Right. And they service kids that are getting college credit when they're juniors and seniors and kind of on their own independent learning, but having a teacher there, and they're getting a big head start on college. So, been very successful. Junior ROTC received $750,000. There's a waiting list of 140 kids to get in that program. And their STEM projects got, their science, engineering, math, projects got, $750,000 for that one. So a couple of the other little bills that they really worked hard on, Dr. Parmo, and was called on a lot on this legislature from the Valley delegation primarily to talk on different bills. They were successful on, receiving some money at the very last. They did not get an increase in the BSA or the base student allocation, but at the very end, and they were very clear to make sure that everyone knew that it was Representative Stoltz that really missioned this through, was a student safety and security amount, a grant, which is kind of like, you know, the governor has done an energy grant. This is an additional grant. It was throughout the schools. It was $21 million across the state. So the school district ended up with about $2.4 million on that. And that, those are things that, you know, have those shiny titles on them, but they really do go into general fund, and that will help them plug a lot of holes. And Mat-Su has really done a pretty good job with security. They're far ahead of other districts. They've had some bonds for fire alarms and for other safety things. They just finished a community outreach working about, you know, about day-to-day safety. So they're kind of ahead of the game. They've already spent a lot of cash of their own taking care of some of these safety concerns, panic buttons, things like that, training of their staff. But this will give them a little more to even do that. And, again, you know, plug some of those financial holes that they're, they have. They got about $500,000 from transportation. This is another bond that Mat-Su was very helpful on getting passed. They were finding a $1.5 million deficit in their transportation needs this year. Of course, for Mat-Su, it's just a big ticket item. We've got, you know, 44 schools across the state, and their geography makes it extremely costly for them. So they received about $500,000 for that. Only leaves them $1 million in the hole on that deal. So they, you know, they went through most of this. We've talked about this a lot. They still are showing a deficit, but they're down. If they get the 3% for the borough, they're down to about 7 FTEs. And this is probably, they're not done with negotiations with the teachers yet. They did receive word about their health plan, which they had been planning about a 12% increase, but it came back at about 6%. So they're happy about that. And the employees had already agreed to take to pay 50% of the increase in that health care plan anyway. So that helped a little bit, you know, but they're scrambling, of course, and they're really depending on the borough to come through with this 3%, and that will not be decided until the they finish all these other department presentations.
Okay, when you say other department presentations, you're talking about the borough will be listening to its departments and presentations, and they just kicked off with the school district as a review of where things were.
Right, right. Yeah, they have to kind of look at the whole picture. You know, some of it has been questions. You know, the state knows, they know what they're getting from the state, again, mm-hmm. if the governor doesn't veto anything. But, you know, the contribution from locally is up to the borough.
Sure.
They do have a minimum, and they've already passed that, but it's half of what the district is asking for.
Okay.
And so they expect some increase, but it's unknown right now what that increase is going to be. And it's been pretty well publicized that they're struggling a little bit with their own finances at the borough, so we'll see how that goes. Mr. Colligan did say at the very end that, you know, it's frustrating to him that all this is based on student count and that we don't know from year to year what our student count is and how the BSA, there's been a lot of talk about the BSA and how that works because it's so dependent on student count. And he said it's frustrating to have all these unknowns with the legislative. You know, of course, my fix for that is just fund education first, but I'm not sure he would agree with me on that. But there is some frustration on it, and it sounds like...
Did he offer any suggestions
on
how to do it differently?
No, and I don't think they really had the forum to discuss it. They should, though. Yep. So that was kind of the wrap-up of the school budget on that level. And then the manager went on for his overview of the administration a budget. And this is the second year that Mr. Moosey has rolled out a budget. He did it a little bit differently this year. He sounds like he felt like he had it together a little bit. He knew more of what the assembly's expectations were. He let them know that he knew that the budget was the most important statement that they can make, is their budget. And he wants to make sure that they know that they're what they're getting for their dollar. And they started out by a movie that their public relations department had made. Patty Sullivan put together all the projects that they have taken on this year, mm-hmm. all the things that have happened, all the activities, the good things they were doing, how they handled the 2012 flood, you know, what's going on with the Port Mac rail, their fish funding they received from the state, their Nordic ski system, and Sutton Library, a whole lineage of things like that. He talked about the projects that they've come in with, their road barn constructions, their school bond constructions. I think they said they have some 81 major projects out there for this summer, including school bond projects and the road bond projects. It's a pretty amazing amount of projects.
Were
out there
any shots of the ferry in the video?
You know, really, that was it did come up. No, there was no shots of the ferry, and that kind of fell off the page. I mean, they made sort of a little comment about it, but they didn't talk about it. Now, they will at some point have to. In fact, it's in upcoming legislation to authorize another month of it, so I suspect that will come up during deliberations.
Okay.
They talked about a river erosion management, which has been a big problem, of course. And he gave out some statistics about 40% of all the new housing construction in Alaska occurred in the Mat-Su, and that you know, he claims that they've created 1,200 new jobs in Mat-Su. I'd like to drill down a little bit on that one. I'm a little curious about where they got that particular number.
When you say they created, what?
Oh, the borough.
The borough created it.
Yeah. Well, not government jobs, but jobs created in the valley. So, you know, they talked about some of the actions that the assembly had taken, which is good to know. Their big LIDAR project, which is their new mapping project. They talked about the big addition that's still under construction at the borough assembly building, or the borough building in Palmer. I happened to drive by there yesterday. Boy, it looks like it's almost twice the size now with this new addition. Of course, it's not, but it's adding a lot of square feet at about $7 to $8 million price. He talked about the new Point Mac and Fish Creek town sites that the mayor wants to do, and how they're working on getting that point developed. Talked about the inventory tax that was lowered, the airplane tax that was repealed, the wood boiler fire system in Sioux Valley that's undergoing South Big Lake Road realignment, and of course, Government Peak and the development plan up there for Hatcher Pass. And then he talked about a little bit, you know, about cooperative leadership within the cities and some of the things they were working on. And then he talked about some challenges, reduced state and federal grants that they are anticipating, and less revenue from additional exemptions. You know, they've given some more exemptions. There's a senior exemption, additional senior exemption this year. There's been some farm exemptions that are coming up that they could adopt that was a bill passed this year on farm buildings. There's been massive costs for utility relocation. That's part of development costs when you have to move utilities. And he highlighted that. He talked about they're lacking any type of industrial park infrastructure at the port. It doesn't look to me like they've gotten really any more tenants out at the port, and that may be something that we're going to talk about. They talked about slow property sales, how, you know, what they did have has been slow, hasn't been selling. He talked about how they've rerouted revenues from land management and depleted that resource. That's something I know a little bit about since I sat on the Real Property Asset Management Board, and that was a struggle to watch gravel and sales of things that got taken out of that particular budget. And then, of course, that his last thing was the ferry disposal, of it being in the final lap, whatever that means. They didn't actually talk about that very much. So they, you know, they... He went on and did his usual, you know, presentation about where the pie charts are, what goes out of what, you know, their grants, their tourism grants, their federal grant matches, some programs they want to do with the Matsu College about paramedics. And what was interesting about this budget is that to get to his bottom line in his budget, he did not include the 3% to the school district, nor did he include any human grants matches, social service grants.
Whoa.
So my
That's huge.
Guess is that there has been a ordinance introduced by Assemblyman Arvin to double the cigarette tax, which they expect to bring in some revenue. Which will plug part of that hole. And I know the mayor, I spoke to the mayor briefly about that. He was talking about an alcohol tax, too. I haven't seen that come forth yet. But he
but
believes highly on those sin taxes to take care of some of those social problems.
So taxes. My understanding, though, that we're talking about millions of dollars on the one side and maybe hundreds of thousands on the other. Is there anything that was suggested that would be enough to actually provide the funding necessary for the two areas that you talk about, the education and social?
Well, no, that's part of what comes up with deliberations, what they decide to cut and what they decide to fund. You know, okay. So that will come in that chunk. And who does what math, I suspect.
So I guess I'm looking to see at this point, given the overview by the borough manager of this budget, whether we're seeing a great differential. When a budget's presented and the 3% is not included, I would think that's a huge deal. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. How,
yeah. I'm trying to think about how many millions of dollars that is.
But it is millions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about millions of dollars that are sort of set over here on the side to say, well, the school district has requested the 3%, which would allow them to function in a reasonable way. And yet the borough at the present time is saying, at least some members have said that they're in support of it, but the budget doesn't include that 3%.
Well, and their challenge is that last year they devised themselves a revenue cap. You know, so they're in a cap situation this year. They can't move around a lot. Now, what I haven't heard about is community revenue sharing. They did get community revenue sharing, and whether when all the finances are out, that's something that's often I've been hearing that's going to go directly as a rebate. They've been very clear they do not want to raise mill rates at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that is going to be the trick here. And but you just don't know until all these departments are rolled out and how much growth they've already anticipated in their own departments. I think what concerns me more is this refusal to recognize the fact that all these projects are going and we don't need any people to do them. What's come on the heels of this, this isn't something that came out in the meeting, but something I've been alerted to, is that they have put out a letter to the employees that they are going to discontinue flex time to the employees. And flex time has been a big deal in the borough. There's a lot of community meetings at night. There's a lot of long days for some people because of, particularly in different departments, and mostly it is driven by community public meetings and assembly meetings and those type of things. And they've had a good arrangement over the years where if, you know, somebody's late, then they have within that pay period to take some time off to sort of even it. So they haven't had to pay a lot of overtime at all. And the directive is coming down within 2 weeks that they will be eliminating all flex time. Now, that is something that was part of the negotiations this year with their unions. They did do those earlier in the year. I was a little wondering, that got kind of, usually there's a little more angst about settling that contract. It got settled pretty quickly. And apparently there was room in there to at the manager's discretion to do that. And so what it sounds like is they're not going to allow any overtime or flex time. And so I'm concerned overall how all these projects, these some 81 projects, get done. And more importantly, I'm concerned how they're going to address the public portion. If we can't have staff, if there's going to be no overtime and we can't have, does that mean you don't have staff to answer questions at assembly meetings? Can you no longer have staff at RSA meetings to answer questions? Or there's some plans in the works that they're trying to finish up. Is staff going to be allowed to be at those? So there's a lot of questions out there on that end of the spectrum too.
Okay.
So we saw, what is it? We got administration put together their presentation. There was quite a long, lengthy one from economic development. There was a short one from animal care and regulation. And that's about all that they covered Tuesday.
Okay.
And they will go on tonight at 4 o'clock. They'll meet actually with the Alaska Matsu Health Foundation to hear about their report for how healthy we are as a community. And then they will meet right after that at 5 o'clock and take the rest of the departments up, community development and public works and planning. They also heard finance, too. And apparently the clerk and the attorney submitted their budget by memo. They didn't have those to pass out, so
okay.
Not sure where that is.
So all of this is kind of a work session in process in order to get this so that they will be able next week, is it, on Tuesday they'll begin the process?
Right, Tuesday and Thursday. So, tomorrow they'll get planning, public works, community development, EMS, and IT. They'll get all those tonight. So that will finish all the pieces of all the departments and what they expect for funding, where they're cutting, where they're adding, what their wish list is. And they'll take all that information. Then next Tuesday, here in Palmer, they'll take public testimony, how the public's going to weigh in on what they've paid attention to any of this, or if they just have their own things they want to make sure are covered in the budget for the coming year. And then Thursday, they'll travel to Wasilla and here give a chance to the Northern Valley portion to also testify. And then they will start deliberations. Now, last year, I think they may have they talked about starting deliberations right after the closing of that testimony on the last day, but I think they punted it down the road. So there's a lintage of meetings to take all this up the week after next, where they'll actually pound it out.
Okay.
And see where they go on it.
All right. Well, after all of that, let's segue over to the city of Palmer, though. You know, I understand, was a packed house. We also had a meeting on Tuesday with the city of Palmer's council meeting. What happened there?
Right. I got there a little bit late. They were pretty well into the meeting, probably about halfway through the meeting. And yeah, wow, every chair, last maybe couple, were full. A lot of familiar faces, some unfamiliar faces. And the part where I got there, they were getting a report from Tom Konar, the Public Works Director, kind of sounded like his update on things that were going on. So they were finishing that up. Then they had a report from the manager, and a little subject came up about them discovering an eligible grant that was given at one point in time. Now,
ineligible grant? Or?
Right.
Oh, ineligible.
And, mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they, apparently, they have a new financial person. She seems quite good, very complete. They've gone through a couple, I think, over the last couple of years. And she's going through, they're getting ready for their audit. In fact, they're on the heels of their audit, I think. And so they're coming through with some of this. And apparently, this is one of the things that they've found, that there is $500,000 or so of ineligible things, expenses that were, and it wasn't very clear what it was all about. It sounds like they're going to have to get back with that, but it does sound like some trouble brewing.
As it was teased out as you were observing, the city of Palmer received a grant.
Received a grant, probably built or, you know, received some money for some expenses that weren't supposed to be, and maybe they're, you know, somebody's recalling them. I don't know. It wasn't very clear. Apparently, the manager.
Was it recent?
No, this happened, they didn't say when, but several years ago. Several years ago.
So it may have been.
Right.
Before the present manager, or maybe in his early days.
Could be.
We don't know.
Could be. We don't know.
Okay.
So there was a little bit of talk about that brought up. The manager did give his own report. He talked about, of course, this big, they're very excited about the project fair that's going to happen tonight.
Right.
All the things that have been doing on that. He did talk about the audit, that they were going to, because of this one issue that they were kind of talking about when I got there, they were going to delay the audit until May 21st to take an extra month to get it right, so to speak. And I think she's really only been there maybe 3 or 4 months, so that's probably in all fairness to her. He said he didn't want to alarm anybody, but they just wanted to get it right, and so they're going to bring that back in June for them for that audit. He said they had a very successful sales tax seminar. They had 17 participants. That was something that the city of Palmer did, where they brought city of Wasilla, city of Houston. They all got together and gave this explanation how you do business with the city with all of that. They talked about a customer survey that they're going to have an ongoing going out. You'll see them in different areas, the library, kind of a fold-out. It's also online. This is something Mayor Johnson brought up, that she thought they should get some feedback, how the people of Palmer feel about how they're doing. And so the clerk has put it together, and it's ready for view now pretty quickly.
Okay, let me just break in here quickly with an announcement that this is KVRF Sutton, 89.5 on your FM dial, and we're here interviewing and listening to Citizen Lobbyist as she describes events that have happened here in Palmer, most recently the City Council meeting this past Tuesday.
So they talked about cleanup week and a few little odds and ends, you know, like that. They had a, let's see if they had a clerk's report just about the feedback of the customer service thing that they're doing. They're going to, April 30th, they'll take up the city council goals. This is something that's always kind of interesting to hear. And they'll see where they are for next year. The mayor talked about the sales tax seminar, too. She thought it was very helpful. There's a lot of going on with the DOT right now and a medium that they're concerned about that is going to go on the Glen Highway to Valley Way or something, quite a long one. It's going to cut off a bunch of businesses. She's been pretty concerned about that. She talked about the borough mayor had spoke to her, and he wants to have a reception with all the cities for the Valley delegation to thank them for all of their efforts in Juneau. So that came up. And then they had audience participation, and this is kind of why everybody was there, I think. They started out by hearing from a representative from Valley Mover, actually, who came in, and this is the bus service that runs back and forth to Anchorage. I think it's the white buses with pink stripe or pink buses.
Pink buses.
And they want to start coming into Palmer a couple of times a day. And they asked about how the city of Palmer would feel about that, if that was a need that they felt they had, and if so, if they could get a resolution. They apparently are applying for some grants for this service, and that they wanted to show that there was support. They weren't, and the mayor asked them a couple of times if they were asking for any financial support at this time, and they assured them, no, not at this time. They were just, this is for preparation for a grant to expand their service. And they all seemed to think that would be a good thing, but they, of course, have to notice that. So that's on the agenda. Then they did hear from Greg Gussie, who has taken on with a group of people in Palmer to get the railroad back into the city. And he talked about this Colony Express Corporation, and they apparently have qualified to receive a grant to get started on this, but they haven't seen the money yet. And he's a little bit concerned that it's taking so long for them to get their funding.
Did he say where the grant was coming from?
The city's going to give them a little money, a little seed money to get started, I believe. And also that there's a project that they have understood that there is money set aside to replace the tracks, and it has not been spent. And they, of course, want the tracks back in. And so he's been looking for a resolution that would instruct that to happen. And so that was what he was there to speak on. Then there was just kind of a lineage of people that came through and talked just about their concerns about the council. And of course, I wrote about this a little bit in my last blog posting about some of the infighting that was going on, a little bit of partisan politics perhaps here, or kind of hard to say partisan because they're kind of all of the same party, but a lot of politics going back and forth. And this was just kind of a lineage of people that lined up and said, this is just enough is enough, that they're concerned citizens here in the Palmer. They want to see Palmer move forward. They think there's been a lot of inaction, that the MAP-made property has become such a disappointment. They don't feel like anything's been going forward, that the one gentleman said, you know, the fact that we haven't even settled what's going on with the senior center is just nuts. That, you know, they've been trying to transfer that property forever, and it shouldn't be taking this long. And it just seems like things get on your table and they just don't go anywhere, that this council cannot make a decision. And so there's a little bit of unhappiness there with just kind of a lineage of people coming forward, asking for more cooperation within the council and to put aside their personal differences and to try to move the city forward.
I know when persons are hurt, there's not much of a reaction. I'm wondering whether either later in comments or any time that night there was any reaction that you discerned from the council to that.
Not really. Mr. Best was not there.
Okay.
In fact, he had called in and said he got sick at the last minute. He was not there. Mr. Irby was traveling, so they, you know, kind of had a quorum. There, a couple of people did stand up and let them know they're very supportive of the mayor, and that they feel like she's been, you know, trying to do her best to move the city forward. But there really wasn't any visible action. In fact, I ran into a few people yesterday that said, "Do you think they heard any of that?" So it's hard to tell. Kind of hard to tell. They did take up one kind of a what seemingly was a contentious issue. It was an introduction that they delayed until later in the meeting, and it concerns a 40-acre parcel back behind Sherrod School that they want to turn into an agricultural parcel now. Apparently, it's got a bunch of greenhouses on it, and they want to preserve it for agriculture. And there are a couple of the council members, Ms. Combs and Ms. Vanover, were concerned about it, concerned that Ms. Vanover said something about, I don't want them raising a bunch of pigs back there, that he wanted to make it was compatible with other uses. This has gone through the Planning Commission. The Planning Commissioner was there ahead of it. He also was one of the people that spoke. They didn't see any problem with it, but they talked about maybe putting conditions on it or how that they invited Ms. Garney up, who is head of the Parks Department and that land division portion, and talked about how they could put restrictions on it so that they wouldn't find themselves in some incompatible uses there. And so they had a little bit of a rolling discussion on that a little bit at the very end of the meeting. But in the end, so they're going to bring it back. They're going to – apparently it sounds like they have to go to the landowner and say – you know, can we put these conditions on, bring it back for the council for them to vote on? So that was kind of it. You know, really not a lot of comments at the very end. It's surprising that one council member did say that she didn't really understand why everybody was so frustrated with the Matt-made property, that she felt things were going had been moving along. She's been gone a lot this season. She spends her winters outside, and some she telephones in, some she hasn't. So perhaps she hasn't seen all the day-to-day frustration that people have been going through right now. You know, they talked about the importance of getting their capital goals together, and they talked about this project fair, and maybe this will be the thing that brings them all together. They're pretty excited about what's going to happen with this tonight. So that kind of was the end wrap of the meeting. It lasted till about 9:30. And they did have a little talk. You probably know Mike, Chuck Schaefer, who used to be the public works director there for a long, long time. Apparently, somebody told me, yeah, he passed away not long ago. They had quite a nice memorial for him. The mayor actually read a proclamation she plans on giving to the city on it, but somebody asked me if I knew him. I didn't. He says that he knew where every pipe was buried in Palmer, anything that was ever built in Palmer that he had a complete knowledge of, and how sad it was that historical knowledge was now gone. But so that was, you know, the note that the meeting was ended on.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. We covered a lot of ground. And what we can see is, as usual, there's more to the story, and it will be being revealed over the next few weeks as, in particular, we settle up with the money issues at the borough level and the school district level, and look forward to this project fair tonight. Any last comments?
Just go out and enjoy the sun and pay attention to the borough. Pay attention to the budget. This really sets the tone for governing for the next year. So if you can get to the meetings, it's highly advised that you do get there.